Hello and good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the First Pioneers Podcast. This podcast is all about the MTG Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I am your host, Kevin Finkel, joined here
by your co-host, Ryan Schwenk, the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan.
All right, so just the two of us today, finishing up a topic we've been working on for a while, one that has been getting more and more relevant for me as I have been trying to jump back into Paper Pioneer, hopefully soon. Very soon, hopefully. Waiting to find when my store starts back up again with it.
And I mean, I just wanted to make the announcement that I finally got my first shot last weekend. And that means hopefully I'll be playing Paper Magic by the end of August. Have you been going back at all? You're both shots, right?
Yeah, I have for a while now.
So you have been playing?
Glad for America. Yeah, not really in paper, no. I haven't.
But you'd like to, you know, right?
Still... Yeah, I'd like to.
Okay. So once you get the chance.
Yeah. And that's our topic. Let's go back to where we were saying. This is part three kind of a bit of a series we've been doing on rebuilding our Pioneer collections in paper or building a Pioneer collection from scratch. So this is a little bit of a finance episode, a little bit of a, hey, what are the cards that you probably need? Kind of the point of these is that we want to be saying, like, hey, a lot of people, if you're anything like me, you've taken the last year and a half off from building your paper collection. And if Pioneer is a format you'd like to play, to get back into Pioneer, what cards do you really need? So we've been focusing on, like, what are the kind of key cards, especially key cards that are good in multiple archetypes. And we've been looking at it from a bit of a view of price, and especially focusing on cards that have been released in the last year and a half, where you might not have been playing them as much recently. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking some about that. We've been talking a little bit about, like, is it a good time to buy blank? Will it go down when rotation happens in the fall? Those kind of things. So we've already gone over all the multicolored cards and all of the single-colored cards. This episode is going to be artifacts and lands, which is always an important thing, is to have some lands.
Yeah, artifacts, lands, colorless, and also any of the multicolor that are three or more colors, because we kind of just...
Oh, did we not talk about any of those?
No, we didn't, because, yeah, you know, we had only enough time to talk about all the guilds, because there was, like, 10 guilds, and then we had, like, what, a top five for each one?
That's true.
That was, like, 50-plus cards just there, so...
I believe it. All right. Well, let me quick add if I've got any of those into my little search here.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of difficult to find those. I couldn't use a good search engine, or I mean, a search function to find out what was three or more colors. I just...
Oh, I just did C greater than 2 on Scryfall.
Yeah, I did that, C greater than 2, but... C? Color, you mean? Or like CMC?
Yeah, you can just type C in it. I just typed C greater than 2.
I didn't know you could do that.
It popped it up for me.
I did CMC greater than 2.
Yeah, Scryfall is pretty intuitive. I like it.
Yeah, nice, nice. I'm bad at figuring out that type of stuff, so... but yeah,
there's a few things.
Do you want to kind of get started on the colorless artifact and lands first, and then we'll save the plus three multicolor, you know, for last? So
yeah, why don't we go ahead with that? So do we want to start with lands, or do we want to end or go with that next?
I mean, we kind of talked about lands already. We had that land episode, I think, a while
that's
back.
That's true. So you'll probably go over it real quick. Why don't we talk about it in terms of, like, the most important cycles of lands, as well as, you know, pick out a few of the ones that are key to certain decks that are not cycles.
Yeah. Like you said, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, not only the cost, but also maybe the number. I think when we had Amit on previously, mm-hmm. you know, he's like, there's only two in this stack. There's only one in this stack. It's all Ochi. So we're going to do our best. Maybe we don't know exactly what the decks are playing at the moment, you know, because...
No, I know. I like to think we know.
I would say I have a pretty good idea of what the decks are playing at the moment. I don't know the exact number. Like, if you told me what's the exact number of Triumphs that Niv-Mizzet's playing, I couldn't tell you.
A total Triumphs? Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
So I've got a tough one to start out with is, do you want me to pick up a copy of Urborg?
I don't think so. I mean, people have it, but... I don't think it's absolutely necessary.
See, I feel like I want to put it in every black deck I'm playing, so it's tough. It is a $30 card, and the price is not going anywhere. So that's a tough one. You know, maybe that's... You do only need one copy. There haven't recently been any decks that are playing more than one copy of Urborg. There are in certain metas, but not recently at all. And it's tough because, you know, one of them is pretty expensive, mm-hmm. but it's also pretty impactful. If you're playing a mono black deck, you're going to need the one copy.
Really?
If you're not, I think you can probably, well, or among mono black or certain black X decks, it can be really important when, you know, when you're running things like Mutavault, when you're running things like your Faceless Haven, mm-hmm. it lets you use those and be swamps, which is really important.
Yeah, I could see that, just so you don't have those mana problems. So yeah, I guess if you were to get one, I would say, if you can get your hands on one, I'd recommend it. I mean, it just got reprinted as well, which is kind of sad because, you know, it price went down a little
bit. It's still $30. Yeah.
Yeah, but then it went right back up. Yeah, so, do you want to just go down, like, the list of what you think are the most important lands and then finish up with, like, the ones that are least important or what?
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, so let's talk about some cycles. So I would say for me the most important cycle is probably the Shocks still. You know, not only are they very playable, if you're going to be playing, you know, a multicolored deck, you're going to be playing them, and you're probably going to be playing four of in a lot of the multicolored, you know, two and three colored decks will probably be playing four of two or three different ones even.
Yeah, so we just got the reprints in the Guilds of Ravnica and Ravnica Allegiance, and the prices are already going up again, so I'd probably just jump on these as soon as possible because I doubt we'll get another reprint anytime soon. Probably not until Pioneer Masters, you know, once they announce it, I would say.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. It's another one of those, you know, cost of getting into the format. You know, luckily, these are good across formats. Mm-hmm. You know, they're obviously played heavily in Modern. They're all played in Commander. You know, you're not going to lose your money on these, but it is kind of it's an investment. Yeah. Certainly, you know, if you're starting out, pick the ones that you know you'll use and just start picking them up whenever you get the chance.
Then it's exactly what we've said previously is that get the colors you're going to play. You know,
yeah, we're not saying you're not gonna be able to play Pioneer if you don't run out and buy a playset of every single Graves one of these 10 lands. Lands.
Like, like I said, I don't play blue, so I just skip all the blue lands.
Well, then you're lucky on our next one, which Spire Bluff Canal. Have you looked at the price of it recently?
Well, I know they're buy listing for like $20-something here in Japan. I think it's like 30 something.
Yeah,
now.
It's more like 30. Yeah. $30-something. It's pretty insane. It's such a disappointment how it's gone.
That's because
so
of Modern, though.
It is because of Modern, but it is blue red has been quite good. We did a whole episode on blue red decks and Pioneer, and the fact that this has spiked so much is kind of crazy. Yeah,
but it's not because of Pioneer. And I'm sure the price. We talk about, you know, should you buy it now? I think there's like one question that we ask in this episode. I think that will go down when that Modern deck maybe loses favor or gets hated out or something like that.
Yeah, it is definitely up because of Modern Horizons affecting that format quite a bit right now. You know, historically it had capped at around 11 even when it was in Standard. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we haven't seen a reprint, but if we do, maybe that'll help with it by quite a bit. I mean, I think the total volume of Kaladesh cards is not that high.
Yeah, but we still need to get another reprint of all the Phyrexian or the, what do you call it? The Mirrodin Fastlands. So that'll probably happen first. So don't wait on it. I don't think it's going to be coming anytime soon.
Yeah, there's no confirmation. There's nothing that I'd be like, oh, I would expect it around the corner.
I mean, like I said, wait on, if you need to get your blue stuff. If you're going to play competitively right away, you're going to have to buy them. Otherwise, like I said, I would wait until the Modern format shifts and those get cheaper again. For the Spire Bluffs.
I feel like this is not as optimistic of an episode of our previous ones. Like before we've been like, yeah, this is so exciting. Go and get these fun, cheap cards. Lands aren't cheap, man. I gotta do some work on this too.
I would say the other fast lands are anywhere from like maybe $4 or $5 to about maybe $8.
Yeah.
On average. I mean, I'm not.
And maybe you guys played back then. Maybe you've got them.
Yeah. Yeah. I got pretty much a playset of all of them, I think.
What would you say is the next most important
cycle? I would say I don't even know what they're called, to be honest. The Kaldheim and Zendikar Rising.
The Pathways?
Are they the Pathways? Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
They're all called Pathways. That's right. Yeah, that's what they are.
Yeah, I would say the Pathways. I think they're the next best thing to Fastlands. Like, I would...
Yeah, I think so, too.
Like, I would play these over the Czech lands.
Oh, certainly, yeah. I usually play these over the Czech lands. You know, sometimes you see both, but these are great. Not every deck runs four of them, especially if you are playing something like Czech lands in a, like, three-color deck. But yeah, these are great. They're also not too bad to pick up, but I don't have any of them. You know, I have been playing in paper, so I'm gonna have to see what's it gonna cost me to pick up a handful.
They are not that expensive in Japan, but like online, like I've seen, like in the USA, in dollars, they're kind of expensive.
Ooh, yeah, that'll be fun.
I think they're like $6 or $7 or $8. Again, this is only because of just not having enough supply because nobody played over the last year or so. I think once people get back playing Paper Magic again and they start opening packs again, and, you know, especially they're going to look at, you know, what packs have the best value and like, oh, wow, these have the pathways in them. I'm going to grab these. So that's what I think will happen eventually.
Looks like the most expensive ones, you know, like green, blue, blue, white, blue, red, are around $5. Let me see what the cheapest one goes for. Also, just curious what the cheapest one is.
And also, they don't rotate, right?
No, those will not rotate. So they will continue to hold their price largely because of standard. Yeah. It wouldn't be sensible to try and wait for these to rotate out if you're trying to buy them for Pioneer.
But there is the possibility of people opening up more packs to play them in standard, so...
Oh, here's good news. The cheapest one's the green-red one, and that's the one I'm most interested in right this second.
Is it like $3 or so?
Yeah, about $3. That's not bad. Under $3.
Yeah, I got to check that stuff out. I got to go through all my cards again, and I got to find out which ones I don't have. Go ahead.
Well, I know I've got none of them because I have not been playing in paper.
Playing Arena confused me. It's like, do I have this card on Arena, or do I have this in paper? And I always thought, oh, I have this card. No, it's only on Arena. So I have to go out and buy it now. But I got rid of Arena, by the way. I don't know if you...
Yeah.
I'm done with it. I'm done with Historic. Pioneer all the way.
I'm with you there. Boom. Let's go.
It's not the format that I was promised. Anyways. So...
If I were to go next, most important, you know, the Triumphs.
Yes.
Obviously here, this is where you start to go, like, do you know if you're going to be playing the decks? Because if you're not in one of the decks playing the Triumphs, you don't need them. And they can be kind of pricey, too.
It's really...
But there are some decks that play a lot of them. Well, yeah, but three of them are blue.
Yeah, I mean, so like Tamer, Jeskai, and Sultai would be the ones that you would have to get if you're playing blue. Otherwise, I don't know, maybe you need like one or two of the Abzan color?
Yeah, maybe, and you know, so that's true. Sometimes you'll see like a single of the Mardu or the Abzan one, just to kind of diversify, and it's also, if you've got something that can like search them up, it's nice. But yeah, I think actually it's either the red ones or the blue ones that are most important.
Yeah, and if you need to know which or what amounts you need, just take a look at one of Claudio's Niv-Mizzet decks.
Yeah, Niv is a big deck that uses it. We do see some other controlling decks
that
run multiple of them, though.
Yeah, like Jeskai Fires probably runs like four or something, I'm guessing.
Yep, the Jeskai decks are great for it because you want that cycling. You know, any of the Fires decks, things like the Enigmatic Incarnation deck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree.
All right, we got a few other miscellaneous lands that I think are still costly and probably worth picking up, as well as some, you know, cheaper ones that are worth picking up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would still say check lands are worth picking up as well, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I would run out and, you know, if you don't have them, they're not for me a run out and must hit. Just because I feel like not every deck, even if you're in like a two-color deck, doesn't always run them.
Yeah, and I don't think you need a full four usually either.
Rarely. They, you know, they get worse in multiples because they don't see each other.
So, yeah, like something like two or three, maybe.
But like a blue-black control deck will want them, but not a like blue-white aggro.
Maybe. Yeah, true. Oh, yeah, so, utility lands, what are we thinking?
Well, I think the castles are all great. You know, those I don't have any of. Wasn't playing Throne of Eldraine, really, so...
Well,
I'm going to have to find some of those.
Those are in my honorable mentions. I don't have them in my top 10.
They're in your honorable mentions? Okay.
Like,
not even for lands or top 10 overall?
Top 10 in my... Well, I just made a top 10 for lands. I had Castle Lochthwain on my list because I thought that was like the best one. But like the white one is probably going to be like an honorable mention. It's like maybe one or two of in some control decks.
I don't think any of them are playsets per se. You know, you probably, if I were to say for Pioneer, you want maybe three of the black one, three of the green one, maybe.
If you're playing Stompy,
Yeah, you know, they'll happily play as many of those because they've always got a forest. I'd probably play two of the blue and white. Mm. I don't think you'll really need more than that. And the red one, you know, we haven't been seeing the red deck that was using them. If that comes back, you could probably see two or three, but it's not super likely. I feel like they'll play the new Bugbear one instead.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I just have them right outside the top 10. I'm like, that would be like my 11th pick.
Okay, well, what else is on your list? Because I've got a few more.
Fabled Passage.
Yeah, this one hurts me. You know, I was just looking that up at like $8.
Yeah.
And I don't have them. It's I don't play.
Never gone under $10 here in Japan.
Do you think this is going to drop if I somehow hold out?
It's the promo. I mean, I believe like that's one of the promos that they gave the local game stores. So when people are going back and playing FNMs or whatnot, I think people can win that as like, you know, if you go like 3-0 or something or 2-1. I don't know how they're doing it, but they'll probably have that being handed out for a while, though, I think. But it sees play in, I don't know, what decks? I mean,
quite a few decks. Yeah. You know, any of the, you know, even multicolor, like two-color decks, things like the black-red Arcanist, they want to get the cards in the graveyard. Yeah. If there's the Jund Sacrifice, they love to get the cards in the graveyard. And then any multicolor decks that are more than two or three. The Omnath decks, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it certainly sees plenty of play. I wouldn't feel bad if you can grab four, pick up four. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, maybe we'll see it rotate in the fall and be a little bit more cheap. But, well, it won't really because it was reprinted in, when was it reprinted?
Eldraine, it was M21 2021 or M20?
So is M21 rotating as well? I know we looked at this last time. Let's go to whatsinstandard.com.
I think maybe it is because we have the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, so 2021, Core Set 2021 is rotating along with Throne of Eldraine, so those will both be gone.
So what about...
Okay, so...
Yeah, what's your big one? Yeah.
I was going to say Mutavault. Yes. That one's still keeping a decent price tag. Let me see what it's saying.
I mean, it's like
$10,
maybe? Was it 10? Yeah, I was going to say 12 to 15, but...
Yeah, less than it was at one day in its heyday, but it's certainly a card that sees play in a lot of variety of decks. If you're any kind of aggro player, any kind of aggro strategy, pick up two at the start, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you've got these already, hopefully, because they can be a little bit of a financial burden. But I think they're great. You know, they see playing a lot of different decks. And right now, they're, you know, I wonder if right now it's spiking because of these decks that want to play it alongside Book of Exalted Deep. Mm. Let me see what the trend is.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Angels deck, that's the new hotness. Yeah. I'm guessing vampires would use it as well. And
well, it's actually at a pretty reasonable place right now. You know, during Throne of Eldraine, it was almost hitting $25 for some reason. That was the highest until back when it was in Standard, when it was, you know, $35 at one point.
How much is it now?
Yeah, you know, 10 to 12.
Okay, yeah, it's not bad. So yeah, I'm trying to think what other decks. I don't think Spirits uses it because, you know, usually there's three color there. I don't even know if
you can see it in blue red or blue white. I'm sorry. You know, mono black, a lot of them, some of the red decks, some of the mono blue decks, you know, now with some of the mono white decks, yeah, we're seeing it kind of all over the place.
I mean, it's just an overall good aggro card. Probably, I mean, I would recommend getting those over anything else. Any other tribal strategies come to light in the future, you're going to want those.
Yep. I'm running it in my zombies deck.
Yeah. There you go. And I got mine in my, my janky, Dwarves deck. So, my next choice is Lotus Field, and I kind of put Thespian Stage with that as well.
Yeah, for me, that's one of those where buy it if you're running the deck. If you're not running the deck, don't buy it. I think it's a great card. I just think that it's you know, its price isn't being held up by anything other than like Commander, so it's not really going to get cheaper. Pick it up when you get a chance if you're going to run the deck. Otherwise, you know, borrow it, see what you can do. Find another way to get it.
Yeah, how much are they going with? I'm guessing they're not expensive, right? They're probably like, what, $4, $5 tops? Yeah,
double that.
Yeah. It's double that?
Yeah, eight to 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 8 to 10.
Well, I know Thespian Stage is probably like 3 or 4 then, right?
Oh, yeah, I was talking about Lotus Field. Let me see what Thespian Stage is at, if I can find it.
But I would still say you got to respect the field. You know, I've seen a lot of players in Japan that like to play it. One of the, what is it, the God of Frontier... what's his name? Ishiwata, I think, is his last name, but he always plays it at the Hallelujah events.
Ooh, okay, Thespian Stage was just reprinted in Double Masters. It's down under $2.
Nice. So yeah.
Four
each of those, if you're gonna play Lotus Field.
I still got a few more. Yeah. If you're gonna play Lotus Field, it'll be four each. I've still got a few more. So Nykthos, are we?
Yeah.
I don't want to tell people to go pick up Nykthos because it's a quite expensive card. It's one of the, you know, probably top three most expensive lands in Pioneer.
I didn't have it on my list.
You don't have it on your list.
I know it's a good card.
It's one of those I think you can get by if you're not playing a deck that's going to run them. You know, if you're playing mono green, if you're playing mono white, pick them up. Otherwise, I think that probably pass on this one. Just maybe it'll get a reprint. It really needs one.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
It's printed in the list, and that doesn't do anything for price whatsoever. It's a terrible. It's a joke.
That needs a reprint in Pioneer Masters for sure.
It does. Yeah, or sooner.
But yeah, like I said, I don't think you're going to be playing. No one really plays the Devotion decks anymore.
Ooh. Actually, here's a question. All right. People are going to be going back to stores soon. Uh-huh. People are going to be opening a lot more physical packs soon than what they were opening during the last year and a half. Do you think that the list cards are going to start to see some price decreases?
What do you mean the list cards?
Cards that are on, you know, the list. The one where, like, they can be, you know, it's this list of reprints that can show up in random packs. I think they're only in the set boosters, maybe.
They did that before, right?
That's ongoing, so they're continuing to add and change what's in it. Let me see if I can find exactly.
I mean, honestly, I haven't played
exactly what that.
I haven't played at an LGS in so long. I've forgotten.
The list is a rotating catalog of 300 cards introduced in 2020 in the vein of time-shifted cards of Time Spiral and Mystery Booster Set. It pays homage to the past of Magical Gathering and is similarly created as the list for Universal Promo Pack. The cards we found simultaneously introduced set boosters. Okay, yeah, so they show up in set boosters, but, you know, haven't been, you know, maybe people haven't been opening as much. Maybe people will start to open more. So far, things reprinted in the list have not had a big impact on price, but maybe these will. Like, maybe these will help.
What's the difference between set boosters and draft boosters again?
The draft boosters are, you know, 15 cards intended for drafting. The set boosters, let me see, they're a little bit more expensive. They've got, you know, like a token, an art card, sometimes a card from the list. Let me see what else is in them. Are there multiple rares? Well,
here's the thing. I feel like in USA, the whole finance thing is just out of control. And so many people go out and just buy tons and tons and tons of these packs to try to turn in a profit. I don't think it's so popular in Japan. I don't think people do that as much. I think people are out there drafting a lot, and the stores will buy and open a lot of those boosters. What are they called? Not draft boosters, but
set boosters. Yeah. They almost feel like they're the MTG. You know, everyone says not to crack packs. So these are kind of the, hey, these are for if you're cracking packs. Maybe these are more, you know, they're a better lottery ticket than the regular ones are. Go. Yeah. Anyways, we're pretty far off topic here. Let's keep on track. We were trying.
Yeah. Any other lands?
Were you saying where this is going to be a short one? Yeah. I think there's still a few more. Mono Confluence is one where I think hold off on it. You know, it's quite expensive, and only a few decks run Mono Confluence. Usually it's like combo or like 2-3 color very aggressive decks.
It's not in my list, to be honest.
Yeah, a lot of time you can skip that. If you've got them, they're nice. You know, you might have them because they're older. There's also the, did we count these in the monocolored? Was like the, you know, Aghanim's Awakening is probably the big one.
I think we did talk about that in
all right, we might have talked about that in black. That's fair.
I don't think we need to worry about those. I mean, yeah, they're nice. I don't think any of those.
Yeah, that probably gets us there then.
I would say Field of Ruin as well. You were talking about that last show.
Oh, yes. I was going to bring that up. It's not expensive. That I know. You know, Field of Ruin.
Where is it? It was like $2 or $3 at one point here just because nobody had it. And then they had the reprint in Theros Beyond Death, and that, you know, kind of got it under control, I think.
Yeah, it's under a buck. It, you know, it is printed as an uncommon and mystery boosters. So I think that helped a lot. Yeah, Theros Beyond Death, about 60 cents, I see. So yeah, they're not expensive right now. I'd say go pick them up right now, though, because maybe they'll spike a little bit with if people start playing these combos we've been pushing. Other than that, you know, I had a few mentions. It's like, you know, Faceless Haven's decent. You know, Unclaimed Territory is a good one. These ones aren't expensive, though. You know, you can pick them up and have them in your collection. Yeah. It's not a bad idea.
They're all budget options, you know, if you don't want to spend the money on...
All right. Before we move off of lands, anything that you're like, hey, this has a chance of spiking and being a very expensive or popular card?
Remnant Ruins?
That was the one I was thinking too, if I was going to name anyone.
Because like they were buy this thing for like a dollar or two back when Pioneer first started, because they've only seen one printing, and all mono red decks were playing at the time.
Well, they saw another printing recently. They were Time Spiral Remastered.
One of those.
Those ones are, I think, are. Let me see what those ones are for. Those ones are like. Oh, they're not. They're not expensive, actually. The old border ones.
Mm.
Oh, I'm gonna have to pick up some of those old border ones. I know I've got a play set of the normal ones, but these ones look.
I pay attention to absolutely zero non-Pioneer standard things. Like, I have no idea.
Hey, you're the pro here.
Do you want to move on to colorless and artifact next?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
You want to go first? I mean, I have so many that I want to talk about. I don't know which one's more important than the others, though. Like, I would say at the moment, I really like it. Like, if I was going to recommend a good pickup, I think Karn the Great Creator. You know, sees play, like, you were playing it in your deck. The black-white brew that you made last time with, searching up the book and stuff like that.
Yeah, and, you know, feeling quite vindicated. If you guys listen to our brew episode, I'm feeling pretty good because Bard Class, you know, took 3 out of the top 16 in this weekend's challenge. Nice. Has been doing really good, as well as we've been seeing some of these, you know, I've mostly been seeing mono-white, but I feel like you could feasibly splash black like I did. Karn the Great Creator, Book of Exalted Deed deck, mm-hmm. So... 2 out of 3. I was trying to put up a win. I ran one league with my black-green zombies as well, just so I could be like, all 3 of these have won, but didn't quite get there. 4-1. Close.
So yeah, Karn the Great Creator. Mono-green. Planeswalkers also plays it. I'm guessing it's a 4-of, right? It also turns off book.
Usually, yeah. Yeah, it does. That's true.
Claudia was playing it, I believe, in his mono-white deck. As a way to shut off book and also to grab from...
Or to find book, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that's my first recommendation, I think, in colorless.
I mean, that's not a cheap card. I feel like that's not like one that you'd buy unless you're playing the deck that runs it.
It's but like 8 or 9?
You could give it a shot.
Right?
Yeah, it's like 13.
Is it 13 now? Jeez.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing at on the cheap end.
Wow,
yeah.
I went up... Okay, sorry about that, guys.
It's very popular in Modern, so that hasn't lost much price. So that also means, you know, it's not going to go down much. Maybe you can find a chance to get it. Or maybe we'll wait for something big in Modern to get banned and pick it up when there's a price drop.
All right, what's your next choice? What do you recommend out of the colorless or artifacts?
I would recommend, well, can I give an anti-recommendation? Mm-hmm. Don't buy Ugin right now.
How much is he? Did he go up? Or...
Well, Ugin, you know, he's still $25 probably. Yeah, $20 to $25. But he was in 2021. He'll be rotating very soon, you know, in the fall. I'm expecting that price to drop quite a bit when he's not in standard, because the people who wanted it for Commander just had a chance to buy them, and then everyone who has it for standard, where it's been very popular, even a 4-of in some decks, they'll be happy to sell it to you for the cheap.
But the finance bros are probably gonna buy him up for future Commander players.
Yeah, maybe. Well, then go be a finance bro if that's what you want to do.
Keep an eye on it. That's what I would say. But yeah,
I think it will go down as we approach the fall and rotation is expected.
Yeah, if it keeps going down, pick it up then for sure.
Yeah.
All right, that's your.
Are we still doing non-artifact?
I mean, we can do. I have them all mixed up, to be honest.
There's not a lot of non-artifact colorless cards that I'm like thinking you got to pick up. Like, I don't think a lot of the Eldrazi see cross format play or like cross deck play in the format. You know, not a lot of them don't even see any play at all. When's the last time you've seen a Thought Not See?
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably when you're playing against me.
I mean, I would say like Emrakul, definitely not. Maybe Ulamog. I mean, it really depends on what deck you're going to play, because I know we had some, what do you call it? Golos decks. I think that was the Aetherworks deck, and that's like tier 2, tier 3. I mean, that's like fringe. It's super fringe. So
yeah, that's too fringe for me.
That's the only deck I think that would play Ulamog at the moment. It doesn't even say,
well, Ulamog, you see it usually as a sideboard card to wish for with Vivian. Yeah. When you've got 10 mana, you grab Ulamog
and there we go. But let's say maybe you need one.
We don't see. Yeah, maybe you need
one or two.
Maybe. I know I've got one.
Yeah, so but they're like expensive. They're like 50-60 bucks now, I think.
Let's see where they're at. According to what I've been following, you know, usually, Yep, that $45. Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't got at least one of those. I should see what I can. Maybe I should get rid of one of mine and be happy with the other one.
I got a playset because I played Green Red Ramp back in Standard during Battle for Eldrazi Standard. Battle for Zendikar, sorry. So I'm happy I got those. I can foils. Sell them off whenever. I'll wait for them to go up a little bit more, maybe. So yeah, no to the Eldrazi. Is it my turn? Your turn?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead with artifacts?
I kind of want to talk a little bit about sideboards. I got a couple I want to talk about. So like Damping Sphere, Graft Digger's Cage, and Soul Guide Lantern. If you don't mind me.
I think all of those are great ones. Those all sound like great answers because for me, there weren't a lot of artifacts that saw cross format play, but I think all three of those seem like great answers. So Soul Guide Lantern, Damping Sphere, and you said which third one?
Graft Digger's Cage.
Oh, Graft Digger's Cage.
Yeah. So like how many are we looking at though? I mean, I usually only play like two Graft Digger's Cage in the sideboard. Should you get four?
I feel like two is usually the magic number. Probably on all of those. I tend to like build my sideboards with a lot of two ofs. Maybe that's wrong, but Soul Guide Lantern I could see being three or four. But I think Damping Sphere, Graft Digger's Cage, if you grab two of each of those for $2 or $3 each, that sounds like a perfect idea.
Yeah, I think that's about the price for both of them, right? Like Cage and Sphere, they're about two or three. Yeah. And then Soul Guide, I guess it's probably about the same price too, right?
Yeah, it's an uncommon, but it's holding at $3, so.
So those are my recommendations for cards you need to pick up in artifacts. So any other ones? I mean, I had a couple more.
There's a few that I think are useful. So like Witch's Oven is a cool one, not really seeing play in Standard anymore. So it's pretty cheap. Maze Mind Tome sees multi-deck play. Stolen Coil Serpent sees multi-deck play. I think a lot of those you could pick it up if you're going to use it. I'm trying to see if there's any other ones that I'm like, this sees play in every sideboard.
I think Stone Coil will go down in price, Clistered Rotation, just because, Scales isn't a thing right now.
That's
fair. And that's like the only deck that it saw play in as a four of. Witch's Oven as well, I would say, is probably going to go down in price. You got a reprint, I want to say. Like in one of those supplements.
I just looked up the price of Heart of Kieran. I feel like I bought some of those the day before Pioneer was announced, thinking it would spike, and it's like 50 cents.
It's like a dollar.
So that's no embarrassing.
I like them. I think they have potential, but I wouldn't say it's necessary for the format at the moment.
Yeah, no, I don't think
it is. What about Scrap Heap Scroungers?
That's not a bad one. That hasn't been seeing play, but there will be a day when it comes back and it's very popular. I think that's probably a decent pickup. What do they run right now?
50 cents, I think.
Oh, yeah. Grab them. Can't hurt. Yeah,
I think it could be really popular.
Probably less than that. Yeah, you can get them for 20. You can get a playset for $1. Nice, so nice. That's not bad. So you're not going to make your money back buying 100 of them, but maybe get yourself a four of and never think about it again.
Do you have anything else on your list? I have one more possible one that I wanted to get your take on.
Yeah, what do you got?
Mox Amber.
I know, it's a tough one. It's pricey. I like Mox Amber decks a lot. It is not cheap right now. Let me see where it's running. Oh, God. What's your guess? You got a guess?
25?
I'm looking at... Let me see what...
I think they're going for like 20 here.
I think I'm using TCG Player market price.
Yeah.
TCG... Okay, $37.50.
Ooh, I mean, what's low?
Yeah. No, that is low.
Wow, that's insane.
Like, listed medium's $40. Near Mint is... There's a Near Mint right here from TCG Player, $50.
I mean, I feel bad. I picked up a foil for like 17 and sold it for like 55, and I should have held on a little bit longer, but I was still happy to get triple my money, so... that's my colorless and artifacts. And I don't think a deck's going to be playing it, but again, that's one of those really dangerous combo cards. It's going to get absolutely insane. If something like Kethis is unbanned.
It's tough, too, because... Or Bard Class right now.
Is it Bard Class as well? Yeah. True.
Bard Class is good with it, so that's scary.
Yeah.
If it's not up now, it's going to be up shortly. Mm.
Will it reach Mox Opal levels?
I don't know. Ooh, man, I wonder if I need to go grab him on MTGO, like, right after this, because I don't want it to get any higher, and I would love to get to play that Bard class deck.
Mm. How much did they go for an MTGO? They're a lot cheaper.
Yeah, 4 or 5 bucks.
4 or 5 ticks? Yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well...
All right, what else? You got anything else in Artifacts? I feel like there's actually... Yeah. It's a lot calmer. You know, I'm not going to say go pick up... You know, we talked about Great Henge. That's in the color.
Yeah. It's a colored artifact. Yeah. So yeah, I'm only doing, like, mono or colorless artifacts.
Yeah, yeah, same.
I think we got most of them. A lot of good sideboard cards.
I think so, too. Yeah, a lot of good commander cards, a lot of good sideboard cards. I think, yeah, not too bad as far as if you want to pick up artifacts.
And you don't...
So mostly the lands is where we're going to be hurting.
Yeah, guys, yeah. Probably, and that's any format, right? Any format, you need to have the land base. You need to have the lands. I mean, that's why, for me, Arena failed, just because I could never play any decks I wanted to, because I can't make... I don't have any of the lands, so...
Yeah, yeah.
So, multicolor.
How do you feel about multicolored being more than two color?
You mean you want to move on to that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm seeing... What do you got from that list? Because I didn't have too many. You know, I had originally skipped that, but I can think of maybe two or three
obvious ones. Number one is Niv-Mizzet Reborn.
Yeah, number one's Niv-Mizzet. Number two's Omnath.
Yeah. Well, I would say... Yeah, and okay, I guess so.
Omnath is banned in standard, so it'll get cheap. Well, it won't get cheaper. You know, pick it up anytime you can.
So Niv-Mizzet's a 4-of, right?
In the deck that plays it, absolutely, yes.
How many, or how much is that going for? I want to guess it's like $8 or $9 now, but it might even be...
Oh, it's less than that, really? I think. It's, $3.5.
That's not bad at all. Okay, that's definitely a pickup if you're planning on doing Niv-Mizzet. Or is Enigmatic... Yeah. What's it called?
Enigmatic decks haven't been running it for, you know, I think when we were first trying it out, we had it in there, but it just was too much of a deck building restraint. Mm. There's not a lot of good multicolored enchantments. Mm. And you wanted to be grabbing things like Skyclave and, you know, a lot of things that weren't good. It just didn't quite have enough
hits. Got it. But you said Omnath. Why do you recommend Omnath?
You know, if... I guess it's not in a lot of decks, but if you're going to be playing a deck, there's a few places that Omnath fits, it's not too expensive.
It did just show up again.
Yeah, yeah, we've been seeing it showing up in a few different decks. Like, it's definitely out there. It's not in, like, a lot of decks, but it's certainly important in a few decks.
I mean, it was really big back, you know, when it's, what's his name? The giant that should not be named. Uro, there we go. When he was big, Omnath was big. But the deck is still good. I think people are still, you know, trying to go off combo-wise with Escape to the Wilds and whatnot. But...
Yeah, or we've been seeing it in Jeskai Ascendancy as well, which I was going to mention Ascendancy.
Yeah, I have that in my honorable mentions. You know,
it's a 50-cent card, but go ahead and grab yours.
It could go big. I mean, it could go big. I mean, I bought like 50 when they were like 20 cents.
There so, you go.
If they go big, I'd be really happy. So we got those three. I think my next pick would probably be Korvold, Fae Cursed King for the Jess.
Yeah, sorry, that's a junk. Very specific one. You know, that's played in one deck and one deck alone, and its price is a little bit artificial because it's not even in any real set.
Yeah, it's all held up by, I would say, probably by EDH even, right?
Yeah, probably.
But, yeah.
If I was going to name one more, it would be one of the ultimatums. Mm-hmm. Or maybe all of the ultimatums, but I think the Sultai one's the most interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like a dollar, though, right? It's not even a dollar, probably.
Is it? No, I was going to say, I thought it would be more than that, but let me take a look.
It can't be that expensive. What is the... It hasn't seen any play.
It hasn't been seen play in Standard anymore?
I don't think it's seen any play in Standard.
It was. It certainly was. Oh, okay. Yeah, you can get it for pretty cheap, around $1. Nice. I guess it's only a rare, not a mythic.
Yeah. Yeah, and Genesis Ultimatum, I think, would be my other choice.
That's reasonable. Well, is that the teamer one?
Yeah, the one that puts stuff into play. That's like one that the Omnath deck would play, right?
Yeah, it would play that. I've also seen that in like the energy deck. It's funny, just looking at the ultimatums, the Mardu one and the Abzan one don't see any play in Pioneer, mm-hmm. but they're the two most expensive because of Commander.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
So how much was Omnath, by the way? I don't think we talked about the price on that.
Oh, Omnath was about $5, I think.
It was a dollar, you said, what?
About $5.
Okay, that's not bad. So yeah, if you're going to make any multicolor decks...
grab one if you're going to play Niv, maybe grab multiple if you're going to play Omnath specifically. Like, there are decks running four of him, so it's not unreasonable. Yeah,
so for that, for Niv, maybe one or two Korvold if you want to play Gen Sacrifice. How many of the ultimatums do you usually need in those decks?
You know, the Sultai one, four.
Four? I'm guessing same of the other, but they're like a dollar, you said, so...
I'd say, you know, the Teemer one, when it was seeing play, was probably getting played around three copies. It's tough to fit four of a seven drop in your deck.
Okay. But yeah, that pretty much covers, I think, the rest of the cards. We did all of the multicolor guilds. We did the monocolored cards. I mean, we didn't miss any, did we?
No, that sounds good to me. So hopefully, guys, if you've listened to the last two, you listen to this one, you've got a decent list now of maybe your top cards you need to go out and buy. I'm good to wrap up this idea. And, you know, like I said, I'll probably go back and listen to the two of them, listen to this one as well. So listen to this one as well, and I'll just probably put together a buy list of everything I think I need to pick up, because it's going to be quite a bit. Mm. And maybe I'll tweet that out if I get a chance to.
You going to buy online or buy a Trail GS?
That's a tough question. You know, I probably will look online just because I'm not super committed to LGS. I've moved since I was regularly going to one. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to have one between me and my work, and I was going to that one a lot. And now that one's slightly further than my other one, but I like this one more. So I got to figure it out.
All right. Well, that being said, I asked this same question, you know, on each of the other episodes we did. How far do you think we are from paper Magic again, both you personally and maybe as, you know, Magic the Gathering in general?
Hey, I mean, people are doing it now. I've been seeing people talking about Pioneer and Paper. You know, I didn't go to a pre-release. Maybe that's just because I don't love Sealed, because it's all luck, and I have no luck. No, but I probably could have. You know, I definitely could have gone to a physical pre-release if I had wanted to.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I think in Japan, August 22nd, the Hallelujah Tournament Center, the 300-seater, is opening up again for events.
You can wait till... You can wait until after the Olympics makes everything spike.
Yeah. So both in COVID cases and prices of cards, but
yeah, perfect.
But yeah, I think after that, like I said, I got my first shot last week and I'm going to get my second shots, early August. So I'm planning late August. That's when I'll be back and hopefully I'll be able to report from some Japanese events. You know, I can finally live up to my name, the Japan Hobbyist. It's been killing me.
Anyways. All right, that's going to bring us to the end of our episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed listening to this. If you want to look out for any more of our information, you know, we talk about everything Pioneer. We tweet out whenever anyone's playing Pioneer. We tweet the latest lists, the latest things happening. Best place to follow us is at MTG Pioneer.
Oh, yeah, and you guys can find me, of course, on Twitter at Yoshwenky, Yoschwenky. And we do have our, you know, information for our Discord. Jump in there. If we missed any cards, you know, from today's episode or any of the other episodes we did on, you know, building your paper Pioneer, Pioneer collection, let us know. You know, jump in and join the discussion.
For sure. All right. That's going to bring us to the end of our episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are your first Pioneers podcast, slinging out. we are your go-to source for Pioneer information online.